I'm Vince Ferguson, president of Body Sculpt of New York. Welcome to 6 Weeks of Fitness, episode number 4, where we hope to inform, motivate, encourage, and inspire you towards living a healthier lifestyle. Thank you so much for tuning in. In the first segment of our program, I will be joined by television and film star Jasper Cole, otherwise known as Hollywood's go-to bad guy. Jasper will share his personal philosophy on how to stay healthy and fit while preparing for his many challenging acting roles. You can see a picture of Jasper on my website at www.6weeks.com. In the second segment, I will be joined by my nutritionist and co-host, Orvel Douglas, who will discuss the effects that sugar and high fructose corn syrup is having in our bodies. You don't want to miss this very important topic. Now, did you know that 25% of what we eat keeps us alive, and 75% of what we eat keeps our doctors employed? And now that's worth thinking about. Welcome back to 6 Weeks to Fitness. I am very pleased to welcome to our program the multi-talented television and film star, Jasper Cole.
All right.
Just to give my listeners some background on you, Jasper, you've been acting for over 25 years.
Yes.
And you've appeared in over 100 films and television shows.
Allegedly, that's what they tell me.
Well, I know you recently appeared in the critically acclaimed movie, The Purge, Anarchy.
Yes, it's one of my signature homeless roles, which is generally why I have this homeless beard. That I always say my acting range goes from a goatee to a beard. So, do you want the goatee or do you want the beard? Do you want the long hair down or do you want it pulled back?
But, wow, that's funny. So you always have some type of some hair growth on your face. What movie you doing?
I always say if I actually shaved, I'd never get a job again.
We wouldn't know who you are.
Nobody, exactly. I wouldn't be quite as creepy.
You appeared in so many different TV shows as well. I mean, like Saved by the Bell, Touched by an Angel, Married with Children, wow. Party of Five.
We're going way back on those.
Yeah, but I'm telling you, this is your body of work. It's amazing. The thing about it, no matter who you are, someone has seen you somewhere in some TV or movie. That's what I'm getting at here.
Well, you know, listen, it's funny because when you're doing it, you know, it's weird how in life when you're on the journey, we don't get it sometimes that we're on this journey. We're always trying to get to the next thing. And I always tell young actors, if I could go back, I would just really try to enjoy each one of those moments. But a lot of times when you're young and hustling, we just are trying so hard to move to the next whatever that we kind of forget that we're missing the journey along the way.
That's a good point. It's almost like being present in the moment.
Right.
Now, instead of thinking about what's going to happen later, just be in it now. Be and feel it now. And that's great advice for young actors, and not only for young actors, but people in life generally, just to think about that and just enjoy the journey.
Right. Exactly. I think it comes with, I turned 50 in this year, and I think, again, it's always, you know, what is it with age comes some sort of wisdom,
hopefully. We hope. That's great, though. And the beauty of it is, it looks like you're busier now than ever before.
Yeah, you know, honestly, about 10 years ago, it's really about when I turned 40. I mean, I've always been grateful. I always worked. But I was getting to that point where I thought, you know, I got to get in a certain type or category. So I did sort of consciously create a certain image for myself and tried hard to get on this sort of list of bad guys and tough guys and whatever. And thankfully, it paid off. And so it's been about a 10-year journey with this particular category. And I always say it took me, you know, 20 years to get typecast. So
wow.
I'm happy to be typecast.
Really? And I know you were also in, what is that movie? Friday the 13th, Part 8?
Oh, yeah. And that's interesting because, you know, talking about the fitness thing, in that movie, I actually played a fitness trainer because, you know, we could talk about that later. But my background prior to acting was gyms and owning an aerobic studio and working for a fitness chain. And so early in my acting career, I did support myself, you know, working at gyms and being a trainer. So in that movie, actually, it was not a stretch to play a trainer.
That's amazing. And as a trainer myself, I can really appreciate that, because so often you're trying to pay the bills any way you can as you go after your dreams.
Yeah, and it was the perfect, I mean, I think I was a waiter one time. I started in Atlanta, and I was in Atlanta 2 years before I got to LA, but there was a Holiday Health and Fitness was a chain that was back in the day, and then it became something else. But I was teaching aerobics and doing the training and all that starting when I was about 18 or 19, and could have actually stayed and probably had a very, you know, great career in that. But I always wanted to do the acting, but it was a nice day job for me to pay the bills.
Well, personally, I'm glad you decided to jump into the acting field.
Thank you. But, you know, the fitness background has really paid off, because it's ironic that I play – oftentimes I'm asked to do stunts and stuff, and I'm not a trained stuntman, but you sort of learn on the job. And I think if you're sort of athletic looking, they just assume that you're willing to fall down the hill or, you know, jump off the building. And I've kind of learned to say no a little bit more, but in the last 10 years, there were many sets where they'd be like, Jasper, you're in good shape. You don't mind rolling down that hill over there, do you? And you don't want to be that jerk actor who says no. So I've just sort of learned stunts along the way by fake it till you make it, I guess.
So you kind of went with the flow.
Yes.
That is perfect. But if you didn't have the body, you know, if you weren't fit, you couldn't do it.
Well, yeah, I think being athletic along the way and exactly. I mean, it definitely helps. And you know, like I said, I've always tried to stay in shape from really the time I was in high school or all the way through. But, and you know, you have fitness changes as we get older, and you modify and you find out what works for you and that sort of thing.
Speaking of fitness, and that's one of the reasons you're here, and I do appreciate that, is tell me, how do you find time to exercise, especially when you're on location filming a movie?
I know, right? You know, it's interesting, and I don't know if you feel this way, Vincent. You've been doing this for years. You know, I've learned that muscles have a memory, and I often say to people, it's sort of the one advantage of getting older. Once you've kind of established your base muscle mass or whatever along the way, I find that it takes less maintenance to maintain it. You do have to maintain it, but yes, I think a lot of, and I was one of these guys who I think overtrained a lot along the way also. But I always try to, I do a lot of stuff, even if I'm in my hotel room or on location in my trailer. I'm addicted to pull-up bars, like the Iron Gym. And,
right.
You know, you can't always find a place to hook those things, but, you know, push-ups, planking, floor, core work on the floor. But I'm a big hiker and a walker, so I try to walk at least an hour every day, sometimes 2 hours. I say instead of taking antidepressants, I, you know, work out. But but yeah, yeah, I just find that, you know, I find you actually, if it's a priority, you'll find time to do it.
That's important. I mean, that's so important, because so many times people will tell me, look, I just don't have the time to exercise.
Right.
I'm busy. Are you that busy that you can't make it a priority?
But they found an hour to go to Starbucks. And have a 4,000 calorie mocha choca latte, something, something. So,
exactly.
You know, no judgment. I'm not judging. I'm just saying, I think we find the time when it's important to us. But for me, working out for me is a lot of psychological balance as well. You know, the endorphins or whatever. When I don't work out, I don't have the energy. I don't have the focus mentally. I'm kind of bitchy. I'm just kind of a grumpy person when I don't work out.
Well, you know, you and I have that in common in the sense that it's psychological. You feel bad if you don't do it. Something's missing.
Exactly. And I can't go. I can, you know, listen, I think moderation, we can't all be fanatics. I mean, I can go a day, two. But I mean, if I don't get that walk in, at least, I mean, if you're traveling on a plane and all that, after a day or two, it's a sluggish feeling. You don't have the energy, the second wind, as there's no second wind, as I call it.
Now you also work out with weights, though,
I do,
right?
and you know, I literally try to work out, and like I said, it's been trial and error, and I always tell people everybody's body is different, and you have to sort of find your path along the way. And I've tried it all. I've done the 5 days a week. I've done the one body part a day. But for me personally, if I can work the whole body once a week for sure, ideally twice a week, and I'm hitting like each body part twice with enough time to rest in between, that for me works. And then supplementing, like I said, I do have dumbbells at home, and I have some stuff I do at home if I can't get to the gym.
Now you said you hit each muscle twice in a week, correct?
Yeah, I'll try. I mean, once for sure, but ideally, I'd like to do, biceps, triceps, everything twice. I do a full body workout in one workout.
See, that's awesome. That's awesome. Because Jasper, honestly, that's what I try to do. You know, hit each muscle group twice a week.
And you give your muscles it, and then look, I'm the worst. It took me years to get this because I was convinced I had the more you do, the more you got. And I didn't, I never, it really took me years to get the whole thing of letting the muscles rest and recover. And then I learned also, the smaller muscle groups, the biceps, the arms in particular, and I think men, we're guilty of this. We really overtrain those
Yes.
muscles because we think the more we do it, the bigger they're going to get. But for me, I had to learn that the smaller groups can't take that much overtraining.
Exactly. Exactly. The larger muscles, yes, but not the smaller muscles. But you know, most people don't realize that. They think more is better. In
And
some
I
other
was
cases,
guilty of it as well. And even the same with just overtraining work. I would do, I do, and I used to be a big runner, and I would run, and then I do weights, and then I was just I was really overtraining in general. So I'm telling all the young people and everyone out there, it one beauty of getting older is it you can do less to maintain, but you do have to do it. You can't do nothing.
exactly. No, I saw a video with you and I looked at your arms and I can tell you work out. I said, this guy has a lot of muscle tone here, you know? So this is
Well, look who's talking. I'm looking at you here. But
great.
I mean, for me too, the other component for me was diet. I through trial and error over the years, I just happened to learn that I was like lactose intolerant and I actually do have the gluten problems that a lot of people, I think there's this whole gluten-free thing now, but through trial and error, I've had to cut out certain foods that just I was allergic to, and it's a side benefit that it actually has helped me stay more leaner, I guess.
Yes, definitely, definitely. Now I was going to ask you about nutrition because here at 6 Weeks of Fitness, we talk about, there's a saying that Jack LaLanne from back in the 70s used to have, and if I, my memory serves me well, it's exercise is the king and nutrition is the queen. You put them together and you have a kingdom.
Wow.
That's an awesome quote and it's powerful. But we also believe that nutrition is like 70 to 80% of it.
Yes, I
And you
agree.
said 90. So,
And
yeah.
again, I'm late to the party on that too. I mean, I'm the first to admit, I just didn't get that for the longest time. And for me, it was literally having these allergies that forced me to realize, certain carbs. If back in the, I mean, if I ate, it's really the white stuff. It's the sugar. It's
Yes.
the white pasta, the white bread, it's the anything that
Right.
raises the glucose level. I would literally get like my throat would swell and I would get like the stomach bloating and all that stuff. But I just thought I had overeaten. I didn't connect that I was actually having an allergic reaction. It just doesn't work with my system.
And that's the thing. We have to learn what works best for each of us. We're all different, like you said earlier. But it's the food that we're eating is causing a lot of problems, especially today with chronic illnesses. When you talk about diabetes, obesity, heart disease, hypertension, it's more pervasive today, and it's usually because it's really because of the food that our diets are the worst. It is. Now, when you're on the movie set now, I've seen some of the food they serve there. I mean, that's not the most healthiest food.
No, and it's I'm blessed. Here's my thing. I'm not a sugar person. I've never been a candy dessert person. My weakness is the fried, it's the crunchy, salty fried. I'm from the South, so my weakness is everything's fried. And so, but a lot of times on the sets, you have a lot of candies and cookies, and I'm good about that. I don't have a problem with that. But if they started frying up okra and chicken and,
Yes.
then I would be, I'd have to really lock myself in the trailer on
So
that.
you basically, all right, so you basically love that soul food,
I do. It's funny,
huh?
and I've learned to balance, like I actually was going to even share this. I thought the timing was perfect today. Example for lunch, I treated myself to Kentucky Fried Chicken. People are going to pass out, right? But here's the key. Here's the key. I get the little 10-piece bite things, and I just have a few of those, and then I have my salad that goes with it. So I'm balancing, my little bit of carb, the breading on the chicken with the salad, so I'm not overdoing it and it doesn't affect my system. But that's a treat. But I thought, well, what great timing that I'm going to do this podcast today about diet and fitness, and I'm going to chow down on some Kentucky Fried Chicken.
Well, I
Just
appreciate you being perfectly honest with us, though. That's good.
to show people, you don't have to, it's not about deprivation, and it is about balance and moderation and learning how to balance the two.
That's very true. And I think most people have a problem with that. They either be too extreme or not extreme enough.
Exactly.
But you have to enjoy your life as you're on this journey, and you must eat to enjoy it.
Right. And that's the other thing I didn't quite get is, you gotta feed the machine. I went through phases of
Yes.
calorie deprivation, and I've tried it all, as most people do, but you finally get to the point where it's quality over quantity, and I'm just a very protein, or I have to have protein versus carbs. And so I generally find I can eat pretty much as much, and I eat meat, I'm not a vegetarian, but I can eat as much chicken and meat as I want. It doesn't tend to do anything to me, except I think help with the muscles.
And that plus, it doesn't hurt that you work out with the weights, you know?
Well, yeah, I mean, of course, you gotta, like I said, you gotta balance it out with the exercise. Because at the end of the day, a calorie is a calorie, you know what I mean? So I don't know about you, Vincent, but I used to laugh for years in the fitness industry. It's a multi-billion-dollar industry. But if you really break it down, it's kind of a, I don't want to say simple format, but the old adage is you burn up more than you put in,
Right.
but that takes in so many other elements that come into play. But
Exactly.
I have so many friends, I don't know about you, but I have so many friends that will say to me, I just never eat, Jasper. I don't eat. I mean, like today, they'll say I didn't have anything, and I didn't eat breakfast, I didn't eat lunch. I mean, I had some trail mix, and then I had two candy bars, and I had a couple of bagels, and I'm like, okay, well, you just pretty much had 2 meals worth of calories
Exactly,
with
exactly.
those things that you forgot you ate. You know how that is? Like because it wasn't a sit-down meal, that they forgot that those calories add up. They've got to be used up somewhere.
Amazing how quickly we forget. And so many people try to starve themselves and think that they're losing weight that way by not eating, and that's the problem.
And they're just actually stalling their metabolism, and I was guilty of it as well, but you want to, you got to feed the machine to get there. And there's the adage that you're actually burning more calories after you work out. Long after you, 2 hours after you work out, you're continuing to burn fat and calories. So it's a win-win all the way around.
Exactly. Now, out of all the movies that you were in, and I guess you can include the TV shows, which movie or show would you say was the most physically demanding and why?
Let's see, more recent, it's really just since the bad guy stuff. The movie MacGruber that I did was demanding in the sense that we were shooting a lot of machine guns and that sort of thing, of which I'm not a gun, I was never a gun person, so there is a lot of to that. But the movie I did, Hansel and Gretel in 2013 with Dee Wallace, that involved quite a bit of physical running down mountains in boots and fighting and busting through fake walls and That was probably one of the most physical parts I've actually done. That was 2 years, last year, 2013. Yeah, about a year ago, I did that.
Because I could imagine someone like yourself and the work that you're doing, it demands a lot of your physical, your energy to make it happen, you know? And that's why I had to ask that question.
Yeah, and in movie, and then the movies, it's a tedious process, so you have to do it take after take after setup after setup. So it's not like you roll down the mountain one time. I mean, sometimes on really risky shots, you want to try to get it fast, but in general,
Right.
when there's a lot of running and stuff, you got to go back to, first position and start again. And I by the fifth time, I'm like, now look, guys, I'm almost 50. I may look better, but this is an old dude here. Let's just, let's calm down here. But I mean, it can be physically taxing.
Oh man. But look, my thing is, as long as you're taking care of yourself like you do, and you're eating healthy, you're exercising, you have the energy, and that's what's so important.
Right.
You can do it. You
And sleep is another big component that I used to go without. I mean, I never really needed a lot of sleep. I could go on very little sleep, but I do find I've been trying to add more sleep into my regimen or regime for life, and
Right.
I that helps me a lot more too. I think it goes back to, again, letting the muscles, the body rest.
Yeah, but how do you guys get rest? Because, and I say that because I understand sometimes you have these early morning calls and you're on the set for what, 16 hours or whatever.
Yeah, and here's funny. I'm not a morning. I'm a night person. You give me a night shoot, and I'm like, hallelujah, because I come alive at like 11, 11 till 2 in the morning is my clearest. But yeah, these early morning calls. But recently, like for instance, I just did a movie, and they were all night shoots. I'm perfectly fine during the night, but the problem is you can't sleep during the day, and before you realize it, it's time to go to work again. So it's even though you get a 12-hour turnaround, that throws you off, because I always say I needed like one day in between each workday, which obviously doesn't happen. So,
So what's the next project that we'll see you on the big screen?
well, I have two really good movies that I'm proud of coming out. One is called Captured, and I play Shelley, this sort of creepy groundskeeper. But this is about a young rock band who wants to go home to the lead singer's home, her former home place, to shoot a music video. That's been abandoned and shut up. And when they get back there, you start realizing why it's abandoned and what happened there, and a lot of chaos takes place. And then I also just finished a movie called Model Home, which is kind of taking the whole idea of staging a home to sell to the next level, whereas they actually hire a single mother and her son to move into the house and live there, but they didn't know she's schizophrenic, bipolar, and she sort of has these fantasy life that she acts out. And I play this character Walker that unfortunately gets sort of trapped in her web of craziness and held.
When will those movies
Well,
come
I
out,
think
though?
those hopefully those both will come out in 2015, in next year.
Okay, so we can look for them next year to come out.
Yeah,
Excellent.
and I'm shooting a movie called Savage Sistas, with great director Dan Smith. And this is a unique horror film in the sense that there's four African American strong women who
Right.
really star. They are the stars of the movie. A lot of my close friends that are black always make the joke that, they kill us off in the first half of the movie. So,
Yeah,
right? And
exactly.
so in this movie, they are the kick-ass divas. And I actually play the lead bad cop who you think is a cop, and then he turns out to be much worse. But
Really?
yeah, so it's
Now,
called Savage Sistas, and we're just shooting that now.
is that where you are you going to be in Bolivia? I understand.
Oh, you know what? That is another. I've been offered a movie in Bolivia. We're trying to work on that. It's there's a lot of scheduling problems, and I don't know. I'm not a big traveler outside of the country to work, but unless it's everything's in
Really?
place. But it was nice to get the offer, but that's with the Spanish
Exactly.
director, and it would be nice if it worked out, but I don't think scheduling wise it's going to.
You'll stay in the States then.
But yeah, no, I mean, I will go to work anywhere if it's a right project. But I just thought it was funny when I was offered it. I was like, so now we're people are shooting in Bolivia. You know, that's not a location I've heard a lot about.
Neither have I.
Yeah.
But hey, wherever the work takes you, right?
Wherever, when the
Whatever.
check clears, I'll be there.
Exactly. But look, I'm not going to take much more of your time, but what is your inspiration or who inspires you?
In terms of just work in general, or
To keep going, yes. And working in general, who inspires you to keep going like you do?
well, you know, there's I tell you, there's a whole bunch of older actors like, you know, like Sam Elliott and even a Chuck Norris. It's interesting lately, which is a huge compliment, and I don't see it, but two or three times recently on flights, people keep telling me I look like Chuck Norris. And at first I was like, okay, I think he's in his 70s, so I'm,
Correct.
you know, but then I realized that's actually a compliment because Chuck Norris looks amazing. I don't know what he is, 70 or whatever.
Exactly. But he
So
looks what that's what that dude.
yeah, so I was thinking, you know what? Just shut up, Jasper. Take the compliment. It's Chuck Norris. So, but
Thank you.
you know, yeah, the guy Danny Trejo, you know, there's a lot of these older character actors that are just kicking ass and they stay in great shape. All the guys in the Expendables, I know Terry Crews, for example,
Oh
who's,
yeah.
you
Oh,
know,
definitely.
built like crazy. And Terry's not old. He's younger than I am. But, you know, Stallone and Schwarzenegger and all the guys in the Expendables, I think they're showing people that you can stay in great shape as you get older and keep working.
That's the key, you know, not to think that because you're getting older, you still can't do the things you used to do. Today is so different now because people are living longer, but you want to live healthy as you get older.
Right.
You don't want to get sick as you get older.
Quality of life. Yeah.
Quality is what we're looking for, Jasper. You know what I
Yes,
mean? Quality.
absolutely.
If not quantity, give me quality
Be nice to
anytime.
have both, you know.
It
Be
would
nice
be
to have
nice.
both.
We're working on it, right? We're
Yeah.
working on it. Listen, where can we follow you on social media?
Oh, great. Yeah, I'm on Twitter at Jasper Cole Says, SAYS, and Facebook. I have a fan page there, and also a website, jaspercole.com. You can, you know, talk to me there. And my YouTube and radio show is On the Set with jaspercole.com. There's Twitter for that, On the Set, W Jasper. I'm all over the place. You can find
You
me
are.
all over social media.
You know, I watched On the Set with Jasper Cole, and I'm telling you, I was really floored. It was just a comfortable way. It was a lot of fun, and it just made you comfortable just watching you guys interact and talk and be a guest. And it was just a fun program to watch on YouTube.
I appreciate it. In fact, this Sunday, October 5th, is our next live show, 4 to 6 Pacific time, and at ubnradio.com. And then it's archived and it stays on there. And you can also go to our YouTube channel, On the Set with Jasper Cole, and that's the on-camera show. And I think I mentioned to you earlier, I started doing that show just to have fun and show a lighter side of my personality. And I have a great sidekick, Ralph, and Dara's my co-host, and
Yes,
it's
yes.
just a party. We try to have a good time.
Not knowing you, not seeing you in any other setting but in a movie, I wanted to see if there's a lighter side to you. So when I watched on the set with Jasper Cole, I saw this hilarious, funny, dude, and I was like, hey, this guy's okay. He's gonna be a lot of fun to interview.
Oh, thank you. You know, I'm a big Howard Stern fan. I've always been like a Joan Rivers. You know, I can be kind of caustic, and I like sort of the Don Rickles comedian kind of stuff. So that's sort of my comedic personality. And yeah, my sidekick and I, Ralph, we just have this hilarious yin and yang relationship.
It looks so a lot of fun, man. It really is. But look, let me just say I thank you once again for taking the time. I know you're busy out there, man, but for you to come on here at 6 Weeks of Fitness, share your philosophy on health, fitness.
Well,
So
listen,
look,
man, it's an honor to meet you here and to talk to your listeners. And again, just everyone, you know, just keep moving. That's the key. As you get older, you got to move and enjoy life. And it's all about quality over quantity.
hey, on that note, thank you so much, man. All the best. I hope to talk to you again very
All
soon. Okay,
right.
Jasper?
Thank you, buddy. Thank you so
And
much.
Welcome back to 6 Weeks of Fitness. I'm joined for this next segment by my friend and co-host, Orvell Douglas. Hey, Orvell, how are you?
Hey, I'm okay. What about you, Vince?
I'm doing good, man. Thank you so much for being on the show again. I really appreciate it because I know this week you're not in studio.
Yeah, thank you for having me. It's a pleasure being, you know, I'm not there, but I'm there in spirit.
Thank you, my brother. Listen, keep your spirit over there.
Okay.
But as you know, Orvell is a certified nutrition and diet specialist. He hails from Birmingham, England. Each week, we've had the pleasure of listening to Orvell break down and explain in the most simplistic fashion, extremely important information on nutrition. 2 weeks ago, we discussed the keys to optimum health, where Orvell explained what acidic and alkaline foods are and how they affect our health. Whether you're dealing with obesity or chronic diseases like diabetes, heart disease, or even cancer, the effect of these diseases can be greatly reduced and in many cases eliminated once you understand the alkaline-acidic connection to your health and start putting more oxygen in your body by eating more alkaline foods. Now, last week, Orvell gave us the 5 reasons you're not losing weight. Now, if you missed any of these programs, you can find them on iTunes or Stitcher Radio. Okay, Orvell, what topic will you be discussing with us today?
I'm going to be discussing sugar. The effects of sugar, you know, high fructose corn syrup, they're all the same. All sugars, they're all the same, you know, except the sugars from fruits that occurs naturally. So I'm going to be talking about processed sugar.
Okay, great. So now, if you don't have the time to write down the information that Orvell will be sharing with us today, don't forget, these materials will also be online on our website, on our blog at www.6weeks.com. Okay, so you won't have to worry about it. You will have an opportunity to actually go back and listen and read the materials, so you won't be left out in the dark. Okay, y'all, let's have it.
Okay, well, first of all, I'm going to talk about the effects of high fructose corn syrup, and I'm sure you know what that is, Vince. Yes, you know what?
Yes, I do.
Yes, it's in basically everything. Everything you buy, all processed foods. Cookies, candy, ice cream, ketchup. Yeah, ketchup. Mm. Everything you buy and you love is in it. And that's a problem because the thing is we are getting too much sugar in our diet. And high fructose corn syrup is a very, very cheap made sugar that causes a lot of problems in the body. Actually, I can go as far as saying it's worse than regular refined sugar. Because, yes, because anything that, you know, anything that the liver has to process, it's a poison. So the liver has to process the breakdown of the high fructose corn syrup. So anything the liver has to, if the liver has to deal with anything, it's a poison, which is not good. So, you know, basically, you know, everyone is eating a lot of processed food, canned foods. And sometimes I can say to people, well, how much sugar do you have in your diet? Well, I don't really have a lot of sugar. Well, probably they don't have a lot of added sugar or they actually add into their tea or coffee or cereal. But if they are eating processed foods, you know, these are all the hidden sugars that a lot of people are not realize that they're there and they don't know what they are. The average person has at least 2 to 5 pounds of sugar a week.
2 to 5 pounds of sugar each week.
And I'm kind of being very kind. It's probably more.
Oh, my goodness. You know, that's interesting because just in case people that our listeners think that this number is inflated, consider the fact that sugar is found in cookies, pies, sodas, all types of food, baby food, bread, ketchup. Or in everything that we eat, just about, there's sugar. So these numbers aren't nearly inflated.
No, not at all, Vince. You know, many years, at least 200 years ago, the average amount of sugar per year was only 5 pounds of sugar per year.
Per year?
Per year. 200 years ago.
So you amazing, really?
Yeah, so that's how far sugar has come. It's come a long way.
Amazing. So what has happened, though, for the past 200 years? What has happened?
Well,
that sugar is so pervasive now?
Well, you know, people are eating more. And, because sugar is very addictive and it affects the part of the brain just the same part as alcohol and cocaine. So people are eating more, and the more sugar you have, the more you want. So they're adding excess sugar for things to taste better, good, because everyone likes sweet tasting, they like sweet tasting foods. But we've lost our natural ability to taste how food's supposed to taste. We add in all these sugars and all these salts, and we've totally lost it.
It sounds to me like what happens is once you start adding sugar, you can't stop.
You can't stop. You can't stop. You cannot stop. It's very hard. It's a cycle that's not impossible to break, but it can be broken. But a lot of people are not willing to do it. They think, because they think, oh, this tastes too bland, it has no taste. And that's the problem, So you have to give yourself at least 2 weeks to kind of, really kind of wean yourself off sugar. And then you actually, if you try to add sugar back to the diet, then you'll actually see that it's too sweet. It's too
Really?
sweet.
I've spoken to a number of people who've told me once they stopped adding sugar, once they were conscious of their sugar intake, they lost weight immediately.
Absolutely, absolutely. Sugar is, it's a poison.
Would you say that sugar is the main culprit when it comes to, let's say, obesity?
Yes, I'm not going to just use sugar only, but sugar and fat, and they come to, people when they're eating a diet high in sugar, it's normally high in fat. If you're eating cakes, it's high in fat and also sugar. So those combinations is a lethal combination.
Deadly,
Deadly, deadly,
deadly,
deadly.
and it's only getting worse because I'm looking around and I understand we're more technologically advanced. I mean, the information technology is out there. We can do so many things that we've never even dreamed of 20 years ago, but we're fatter than ever.
Yes, yeah.
We're more unhealthy now than ever. There's a problem there.
There's a big problem. Every other person you can notice this around you. Every other person you walk by on the street, they're overweight. Every other person. To seeing someone who's slim is very rare. Very rare to see. Very rare.
And it's a shame because I understand even in the continent of Africa, now obesity is a major problem there.
Yes, because they've really adapted the Western diet. When it comes to America, America is the richest nation in the world. So people follow anything that Americans do, everyone
Yes.
follows.
Yes.
So it's like when America sneezes, the world catches a cold.
Exactly, exactly. Follow the leader.
Yes.
But it's amazing that, yes, America is the richest, but it's also the
The
fattest
fattest and the sickest country in the world.
and the sickest. And a lot of these sicknesses has to do with what we're eating. And sugar is one of the main problems here. Now, I noticed that a lot of parents send their kids to school with one of these juices that's filled with sugar.
Yes.
And now childhood obesity, as you know, is rampant here in this country. Okay, I know 43% of New York City school children are either overweight or obese. 19% nationally are either overweight or obese. And this number is rising. This is one of the reasons why, we created BodyScope of New York, my not-for-profit health and fitness organization, because we wanted to engage children in a variety of sports and nutrition activities with the hopes that they'll find a sports activity that they love and will continue into their adult lives. Okay, but we know it's not just the fitness, but it's the nutrition, and that's why we try to teach them healthy eating as well.
Yes,
What
absolutely,
sense of that?
absolutely, Vince. It's very sad to say, but the generation that's coming up, they're not going to live as long as their parents. Reality.
I read that. I believe that was in the New England Journal of Medicine where that fact came
Yeah.
out. So children today will not live as long as their parents. And to me, that is a call to action. But
Absolutely.
it's hard. It's hard because, I understand the soda industry is a $65 billion industry in the United States alone.
Yes.
And they have a strong lobby. Whenever you talk about trying to limit the amount of soda that we're consuming, but right away there's a big uproar because the lobbyists have money and they're putting that money into power.
Yes, the soda industry is it's very bad. I'm going to compare alcohol and soda. They're exactly the same. The only difference is that alcohol gets broken down. Alcohol gets metabolized by the brain. So that's when people get high, you know, they get that high, you know, it's a poison. So it's a poison. Sodas are broken down by the liver. You know, so, you know, we've all heard of beer belly, but have you ever heard of a soda belly?
Yes.
So,
very true.
Yeah, so, one soda, two sodas is not going to do it, but we drink gallons and gallons of sodas every month.
Yes, and I understand the average American drinks like one can of soda a day, but one can of soda a day will add on like 15 pounds of fat in 1 year.
Yes, absolutely.
That is horrible.
It really is. It really is. And you would think, you would never think twice about giving your child a beer, you know, but you won't even think twice about giving them a soda. The only difference is that when you give them alcohol, the side effects are high. With the soda, it's a silent killer. There's no high, but it's a silent killer. So they're exactly the same. They're exactly the same. You know, don't drink alcohol, but at the same time, they're drinking sodas, and sodas are very detrimental, poison.
Wow, you know, you said a silent killer.
Yeah.
And if you love your children, and you know, I know most parents do as well. We all should. I know I do. And it's like you want to do what's best for them. You want to make them happy. So you feed them to the best of your ability, the best that you know. And we're thinking, okay, I'll put a soda in his lunchbox or her lunchbox and some chips, and that's going to make her happy and healthy. But what you're doing is really harming her more than helping her or him.
Yes. Right? Yes, absolutely. Right? Absolutely. You know, it starts at a young age. And, you know, I mean, as we see a lot of these kids, it's very sad to say, but they're the cancer patient, heart disease patients of tomorrow. That's what they are. That's their reality. You know, so something has to be done.
That's right. And I understand also that not too long ago, they was checking out some of the arteries of some of the young kids, and the arteries are very thick already and clogged. And they realize it's just like an adult.
Yes.
You know, the arteries of these children.
Yes. Well, as you say, a lot of children, you know, at the age of 12, 13 on cholesterol drugs. I mean, that's high cholesterol drugs. I mean, you've never heard about that 20 years ago. There's something wrong with this picture. But, you know, it starts, as you say, when it comes to diet, it starts as a child. You know, we've been conditioned to eat a certain way, and it's just causing health problems. Now you're noticing it a lot quicker. You know, because the portions are more bigger and people are eating more and more sugars and everything. But usually, as I say, these diseases usually happen to an older person, even though they had a bad diet, but not as bad as the diet of today. But it would happen in, you know, like, say, 40s, 50s. But now it's happening in the teens, 20s, 30s. So that's the reason why I said earlier that, you know, the kids, they're probably not going to live as long as their parents.
Wow, that is a call to action, like I said earlier. Something must be done. And you know what? As parents, we're very much responsible for taking action, you know, because it basically starts with us, you know. If you really want your child to be healthy, you have to feed them healthy foods.
You have to feed
them. And I think another way is to engage the child with cooking. If you both can cook together, and instead of going out for fast food all the time, because a lot of the sugar is in the fast foods that we're eating, in the processed foods, correct?
It's in everything. Everything. That's the reason why we have an epidemic. If you're a person that eats fast food, food in a box, food in a can, you're part of the equation.
So you're part of the problem.
Yes,
you're not part of the solution, right?
Absolutely.
Now, I also understand that sugar affects your emotions.
Yes, it does. Any foods that we are all made of hormones. So any type of foods that you eat are either going to have a positive or negative effect on your health. I mean, it affects hormone levels. So, you know, so if something's going to, for instance, when you're stressed out, you feel stressed out. So it's hormonal. So the same thing with food. You know, if you eat certain types of food, it's got to raise certain hormones. You know, that's the problem. You know, so we need to feed our body with more plant-based foods, because these are real foods, foods from the earth that are going to nourish your body, nourish your soul.
Yes. And also, when you eat a lot of sugar, it can cause constipation.
I have like a list of probably like over 144 reasons why sugar is bad for your health, but it's just, you know, it can cause it basically sugar is in the middle of everything. You name it, sugar's part of it.
Wow. Well, but give us a list of what some of the problems that sugar, too much sugar, could cause to an individual.
Okay, sugar can suppress the immune system. Sugar can cause hyperactivity. Reduces the good cholesterol in your body.
Right.
It can actually, it's been shown to lead to cancer of the ovaries.
Yes.
So I'm gonna go as far as saying not even just the ovaries, but I'm gonna say many other cancers, yeah. Because sugar causes an acidic environment. You know, so anything that's in an acidic environment, that's where disease starts. As we talked, was it last week or the week before we talked about the alkaline?
A couple weeks ago.
Yes. Yeah. Sugar can stop minerals being absorbed.
Really?
Yeah. So you can have a diet. You say you had like your vegetables with iron, magnesium, calcium. You eat sugar, as we said before, with the acid alkaline. The bones got to release calcium, so it's stopping absorption. It's actually taking minerals out of the system.
I see.
It's taking minerals out of the system. You know, sugar can cause low blood sugar, even high blood sugar. Sugar affects the same parts of the brain, just like alcohol and cocaine.
Right, you mentioned that, definitely.
Yeah,
wow.
Sugar affects glucose fasting levels. So that's, you know, when you wake up in the morning, probably your sugar levels are high. You know, when they're supposed to be kind of, well, not really low and normal. So, sugar is detrimental.
It's really definitely detrimental to your health. And now I think they should have some kind of warning labels on sugar.
Yes, they should, but you know, that's never gonna happen in our lifetime.
Never.
I mean, the sugar industries come from way back. You know, so they got like a lot of money behind them, the industry. So you know, it's just not gonna happen. I mean, the only way we can get the message out is actually, you know, programs like this where we can actually educate people about the harmful effects of sugar and you know, just the whole diet. You know, just to let them be more proactive. And just trying to find a way of actually trying to add more nutritional dense foods into their diet.
Yes, you know, you said something there, touched on a point. Education. I do believe that most people are not educated as to what the effects of sugar can do. I really believe that if people knew, maybe they would think about it and step back and say, maybe I don't need that much sugar in my diet after all.
Yes, I think they should do some kind of, I think in schools, they should actually implicate some kind of nutrition program. It doesn't have to be, you know, just something where it teaches, you know, it teaches mandatory, you know, for everyone to teach them about nutrition. I mean, that would play a big part because, you know, I mean, that would help because they can go home to their parents and tell them what they've learned and, they, you know, and maybe able to help their parents too.
Oh, most definitely. And also you mentioned hyperactivity that it causes,
yes.
Sugar.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, think about all the kids we see running around and not sitting still. And the first thing the doctor wants to do is put them on some kind of medication.
Yes, yes. That's.
And but when parents decide, well, you know what, maybe the kid doesn't need to be medicated. You just need to cut down on the amount of sugar that child is consuming. I've seen that make a difference in children.
Yes.
By cutting down on the sugar intake.
Yeah, a pill, you know, another pill is not the answer. It really isn't.
It really isn't. I mean, we have to take responsibility for our own health. That's the bottom line.
Absolutely.
You know, this information that we're giving here today and have been given for the past few weeks is meant to make you think about what we're doing to our bodies. We only have one. If you take care of your body will take care of you. Wouldn't you say that's true or not?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Right. So this is very important. But now we always talk about giving out an action step, something that people, our listeners can do after listening to what we say, what we're talking about. What can they do now to take action to get more healthy? What would you recommend?
I'm going to recommend two things this week. I'm going to recommend actually cut back drastically or unprocessed food. And also, if you add sugar to your tea or cereal, I mean, I don't know how much sugar you add, but just cut back. Just, you know, just make it like a teaspoon less or 2 teaspoons less. That's what I would do.
Okay, see, that sounds good, because for some people it's hard to quit cold turkey.
Yes, yes. So, you know, so that would be a good way, because when they actually, you know, reduce, then, you know, and keep them reducing every week, I would say every week, just cut back by a teaspoon and just see. And that's a good way to actually, you know, you'll actually see, well, actually, this tea doesn't taste too bad.
Exactly. Now you got the real taste of the tea itself.
Yes, yes, yes.
You know, I personally don't use sugar in anything that I drink. I don't, no added sugar. And I had a friend of mine from the gym, this gentleman, he was telling me how he's been feeling very nervous lately. He's getting the shakes. And I asked him, I said, look, how much do you drink coffee? He said, yes. I said, how much coffee do you drink? He said, oh, I drink 4 cups a day.
Yes, yes.
I said, well, why don't you cut down on the cups of coffee and see if that has an effect on your body? And do you know that it's made all the difference? No more shaking, no more nervous problems.
Oh, yes, yes, caffeine. Caffeine is an adrenal stressor. You know, it works on the central nervous system. So, yes, obviously, yes. I mean, that is, you gave him the right advice.
Yeah, right advice. Because I know for a fact, too much coffee will do that to
yes,
you.
Yes, yes.
We have to take, again, control of our own health. And that's what this is all about at 6 Weeks of Fitness, helping you to learn what you need to do to make it happen. If you take these steps here, you will notice in a short amount of time, your health will improve. And the reason we call it 6 Weeks of Fitness is because we know that anyone can improve their health in 6 weeks or less by taking the right steps and making the right choices. Anyone can improve their health. You agree, Al?
Oh, absolutely. We just need to be more proactive, you know. I mean, sometimes we've been so used to eating a certain way. It's time to change, because it's not getting any better. And yes, it's hard to change, but at the end of the day, what doesn't kill you is going to make you stronger.
Huh, very well put and very well said. And on that note, I'm just saying that this has been another wonderful episode, and I'm really happy that we're able to bring this to you. And oh, let them know how they can reach you if they have any questions.
Okay, you can reach me at Orvel Douglas, ORVELDOUGLAS @yahoo.com.
Excellent. And you can reach me at vince@sixweeks.com. But you can also go to my website at bodysculpt.org to check out the work that we do with children. And we're doing all we can to make a difference in their lives. But we can't do it without you. So check out what we're doing and drop us a line. You know, let us know. Let us hear from you. We've heard from a few of you, and I do appreciate that. But please, please, please stay in touch. Let us know how we can improve the program. And if there are any questions that you have that you would like for us to answer on the air, please let us know. That's it for episode number 4 of 6 Weeks of Fitness. I hope you enjoyed listening to our program as much as we enjoyed bringing it to you. So we'll see you next week. Take care.
Bye.